Hey everyone, this is Gary Kay, and I have a special guest today. This one's not about technology, not really about anything specific subject-wise, but I'm having a discussion with one of my oldest friends in the industry, and we didn't actually start out being friends. We'll talk about that in just a second. But everyone probably knows Ron DeVoe, and if they don't know Ron DeVoe, they know his work. Ron, how are you doing?
I'm good today, Gary, and it's good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought, you've been in the industry a long time. You started in the industry in the mid-80s, I think 1984 or something like that. Or maybe you were in the industry before that, right?
Yes, I started in 1975 selling overhead projectors in the panhandle of Texas. So.
Okay. But you started your own company in the mid-80s, is that right?
In 1984, yes.
Yeah. And so tell me how you got into this. Were you like threading projectors in high school and all of a sudden like, I love doing this and I want to do AV or what?
Well, I will tell you... I was a theater major in school. Now they also called it mass communications. And this was at West Texas State University. Mm-hmm. So as mass communications, I studied mainly theater. I did a bit of summer stock work. And so I enjoyed the acting very much, but there was not a career necessarily. And I thought the better way to move in is in broadcasting. And so I ultimately wound up being a radio disc jockey and ultimately a television newsman. And I was really bad at television news. And when
a great voice, so you're good at radio.
I appreciate that. And I have a face for radio. There's no question about it. Anyway, when you're not top of the market in Amarillo, Texas, and you know you're not going anywhere, and as an actor, when the talent scouts are not, beating your door down, one day I quit as a newsman. I just, the news part was just awful to me. It was not enjoyable. Didn't find any part of it. And I quit. Well, about 3 days later, I said, ooh, wow, I need to get a job. I have to have a job in some way. So there was this ad going to, from 3M company. And then I responded to it and said, well, you're in broadcast. So, you know, audio visual, don't you? Well, of course. Sure. I do. Sure. And so thus began my jet set career of going into the AV business, first selling overhead projectors throughout the panhandle of Texas. And then I ultimately moved to Fort Worth and went to work for another dealership that was primarily in the education field. And at that time we sold Bell & Howell 16 millimeter projectors and Kodak electrographic projectors. And it was, quite thrilling. I did that for 6 years and then looked to this business of, what looks like it's a more interesting thing. I wanted to have my own business, and I had seen reps come in to my dealer's office. Now they were more the factory reps, and they would come in and take inventory of what was in the warehouse. And I thought, now that's a great job. And then when they'd come in, they'd say, why don't you set up a couple of appointments with your customers and we'll go make some calls on them. I said, okay. The other people have to do all the work and the rep just comes in and makes it sound. I said, that's a great job. I want to give it a try. Not once have I ever gone into a warehouse taking inventory. Not once.
And you're still waiting to do that.
I'm talking
to Ron DeVoe, president of Total Marketing. So we're going to talk about Total Marketing in a bit. You started in the industry by having graduated as a mass communications major, theater major, and then gravitated towards overhead projectors. Good seamless transition there.
That's right.
But let's go back when you were like a kid. So when you were a kid was really the heyday of television, right? I mean, radio had been around a while, but you were growing up when television was in its so-called golden age, right?
I grew up with Paladin and Leave It to Beaver and all of the others. And wow, what a novel thing to have black and white and to suddenly see a color TV come in, a 19-inch color TV, just spectacular time.
Yeah. And did you have a love for technology or did you have a love for being in front of the camera? Like what gravitated you towards what you ended up majoring in college, or was it just that you met a girl that was also a mass communications major?
Actually, there are more women in the drama department, and so I always felt it was more fun there. As I was not necessarily an athlete, but I did wind up becoming a cheerleader, so that put me up in front of an audience, and again, I was standing out with the girls, and it was a lot more fun being that than getting beat on and all that. So just, I think it was the audience that was always the appeal to me.
Okay, yeah, and here you are in front of an audience again. Many times, day after day after day. So you and I met when I went from Extron to AMX. I think actually we met before that, but we became sort of colleagues when I was at AMX. And AMX, their whole distribution methodology in the United States, at least, was reps. So they had regional reps that handled the region. So talk about your relationship sort of with the brands, how that came about. And I think, if I remember correctly, this is the late 90s, that was one of your biggest lines at that time.
Well, it's interesting that I started with AMX as their rep, and I was among the first group, and there were five people working at AMX when I started.
Okay,
and
yes,
so obviously Scott Miller.
What year was that? Do you remember?
1984.
Okay, so it was one of your first lines.
Oh, it was the first line along with Chief, along with, I was doing Navitar and a few others, but there was no question that AMX, and it was doing their MX series, which was their slide projector controllers, which was basically taking a garage door transmitter and taking the contact closures, and so you would have a slide projector controller. That's what got us started, and I stayed with them from 1984 until 2004, and of course went through the change of the different management, but it certainly got my start, and through that, it was the integration products that then started making the move. Everything was coming just at one little niche part in a system. And so all of our products started trying to work in a way, having synergy one to another, and it continued to grow. But the AMX was really the key part that kept us moving for quite some period of time.
Yeah, and so you and I met when I came over to AMX, and I think there was some concern at that time, because at Extron, where I came before, we never used reps. We went direct to dealers. And I think there was an automatic assumption that one of the reasons I was brought in was to get rid of the reps, which in my, during my tenure was not the case. Certainly, I did not have as great of an appreciation for reps coming in either. So it was sort of a two-way street. So you invited me over to your place as one of the first things. Said, look, yeah, I know you don't have a great history with reps. You invited me over to your office to check out what you do and how a rep is different than what they're at the time were perceived as. And what blew me away at the time was I remember that you were doing something even manufacturers weren't doing. You were doing training. You were doing live one-on-one and group training. I could bring people to your office and train them. And I just remember that being very differentiated, because most manufacturers weren't even training on their own products. So you were doing it for them.
Well, it was very essential to us as especially from the AMX standpoint, and then when we were also working with Tandberg, that we were bringing a new technology in. We were bringing something in, especially as AMX started moving to IP systems and things like that, this convergence, which we talked about all that time back, you know, that AV and IT are going to be as one. And it's like the glacier is starting to run over us now. We're wow, what a unique thing. It's still happening. But we felt that the training was essential to be able to get people there. We've always felt that our business is still a relationship business. So the more contact and the more touch points that we have with the dealer within their engineering department and all of that was critical. So bringing those people in certainly helped our success.
Yeah. And then what that did is it brought them to you. And you spent the time not just training and building relationships, like one-on-one relationships with them. And I think that was the key, right?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
So then after, you know, I think at some point in time, as you said, 2004, I don't know if you parted AMX, AMX parted with you, but ultimately they were no longer your top product line at the time. You know, how did you pivot and sort of how did you deal with it? Because a lot of people watching today kind of indirectly going through something very similar. The industry sort of imploding and being rebuilt. So it's not exploding. It's sort of imploding and being rebuilt. It's sort of like turning on itself. And I think a lot of people are, you know, and I suspect wasn't there the day that you probably found out that you were no longer carrying AMX or made the decision yourself. But I suspect that was a stressful time, because you're like, what are we going to do if that's our biggest line? How are we going to survive? And I think a lot of people are thinking about that today. You know, my primary business is corporate AV, and no one in the corporate AV world is buying stuff, and I haven't done a lot of education business, and that's where the money is. You know, you've got some experience there. Tell your story and what sort of how you survived that.
Well, it was a tough one, because it did represent, it was not necessarily my decision, but I did not accept a contract that was offered after working with the manufacturer for some period of time and just offered an alternative. And they said, no, this is it, take it or leave it. And so I did not do it and suddenly walked away from 45% of our income, which was a heavy duty part. And not knowing exactly, I did not think it was going to be that cut and dry, but it was, and it was no decision left. So we had never really had problems. We were at, during that period of time, there were manufacturers galore that were always seeking reps. And so we felt there'd be something out there, not that it was going to replace 45% of our market, but there's going to be enough things. And then putting more emphasis on the existing product lines that we had, what could we do to build them by 10%, 15%? So that's kind of how we took it. And lo and behold, within 6 months, then we became the Tanberg reps, and that money was replaced immediately. In fact, excelled greater. But it's still staying in this business, knowing what your skill set is, trying to stay with it. And if you have to move, you have to morph a little bit. The only constant we have in this business is that change is all the time. And so be aware of it, be ready for it. And we continue to go through it. Mergers and acquisitions that are affecting our business, the the changing of technology, this particular crisis that all of us are going through, is changing staff, it's changing cultures within companies. So be there to adapt to it. We in the audio video business can understand that better because we've been, we're the key element right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. We're the solution to the problem of how to get back to work and right. get back to school. So right. do you remember, was that an in-person meeting or was that a phone conversation that you had? And that was after my tenure. I left in the, the late 1990s, and Joe Hart was there, but I think he was already gone, and they had, Joe, was that Rashid? It was there at the time.
It was actually Bob Carroll and Rashid and that whole team came in.
Yeah. Was that an in-person meeting or was that a phone call?
It was first an in-person meeting, then given that alternative, which I thought about overnight, and then made a counter proposal, which they said, no, this is it, take it or leave it. And I just said, well, no, it won't work.
Yeah. And it, interesting, like, where's AMX now? It's interesting because I don't think it's any secret that I've said for years that they basically harm and destroyed a perfect brand. I mean, they were the number two company, probably the number two, you could argue some cases, number one brand. And you hardly hear from them now, hardly hear about anything that they're doing at all. So,
there were some unique changes, and the people that came in had a great business sense. They're very smart. The relationship part of the business is something that they did not fully comprehend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so ultimately, Total Marketing, you actually left or retired for a little while,
yes,
if I remember correctly, like 10 years ago, right?
Right. Yes, I retired January 1st, 2010. Darcy, you know very well, Gary, is Darcy Fike at this point in time. She took over the business because she'd been in the business.
That's your daughter.
Yes, that's my daughter. And took over the business for quite some period of time. And it's immediate then, these acquisitions, the mergers, the different changes that are coming about, new sales managers that came in. She became kind of a victim of a lot of those things through those changes. Yeah, my retirement to that January 1st, 2010. Then I went in the hospital January 7th, 2010. Not planned on it, but then wound up with 2 years worth of 8 surgeries.
Wow.
So I did not find that retirement fun and fulfilling whatsoever. And as I got
It wasn't the resting that you thought it was going to be?
Not in the least bit. And then occasionally I tried to play golf, and that became more frustrating than anything else. And so kind of determined I would like to get back into the business. So I became a consultant with a company that I developed called Successful Sales Consulting, working with manufacturers that wanted to get into the U.S. AV channel. And that was fun. And it re-engaged me, re-energized me and all of that. And through that, I started making dealer calls again with reps and training the rep force on how to work with this particular product, and thoroughly enjoyed it. At the time, then I started working a little bit more with Darcy, who was still trying to get some lines together and things like that, and especially following the big acquisition by Cisco, taking Tanberg, which dramatically impacted us. So nevertheless, ultimately she decided that there was other opportunities for her. I don't know anything else to do. So I came back and I'm full-time in this operation right now and going strong again. It's still energizing work. It's still great people to work with, and it's fun toys. My goodness, the toys that we have that we show people.
So to all these years, what was your favorite product? Like, what product do you look back on and go, wow, that product was just like mind-boggling to me, or was one of the most exciting things I ever did?
That's a tough one.
Like, is there something that you remember that made you a lot of money that you're fond of, or is there something that you remember that happened in the industry that,
well,
you
know, just, I think the with AMX, when they came in with the access control system, that was fun to get started. And then the touch panels that followed that, whether it was just their original amber screen or the Madeira, I think it was, I forgot what the name of the product, but those were very exciting. The more exciting part though was to watch the video conferencing part start, because I worked with in one particular installation with a particular manufacturer that made a codec, and you had to have a T1 at each location.
Yeah, I know that company.
And with each one of those, and it was $75,000 per site when you were doing it, and you would get 12 frames per second if you were lucky. And now,
if you were lucky, yes.
Yes. Yeah. And to watch that technology, and then as we started working with Tanberg and started that, this became a constant and an easy thing to do. And now where you are with Zoom, with Teams, with some of the other things, it's so seamless right now and so effortless, and it gives a sense of presence that's overwhelming to me. So I guess that's my greatest excitement right now.
Yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, here we are looking, we're talking on something that you and I only dreamed of 20 years ago. I remember, you know, interestingly enough though, I mean, the industry, we get beat up as an industry for missing out on the opportunity of video conferencing. But in reality, it was the telco's problem. It was their fault because, exactly, it, like you said, required a T1. Even if you could get a T1, or back when they went to ISDN lines, remember they dumbed it down, where it was hard to get the phone company to understand the importance of that consistent connectivity. So it was outside of our control in a lot of cases. And here we are now. You just type in a number and we're connected by video. You're in Colorado, I'm in North Carolina. We're talking at 15 frames a second approximately. It looks pretty good. Yeah. And it's compatible with pretty much anything else we want to do.
Exactly. And this is just the start. It's going to get better. I mean, to do multi-site, to do screen sharing, these are all seamless things. And these were big options beforehand that you had to add.
Yeah, it is amazing. So now you have been fortunate enough to get a couple of your daughters into the industry, which I have not been able to pull off. I have two daughters. Neither one of them are interested in it. The closest I got was my oldest daughter was an advertising major in college and stayed in advertising, which is what our agency does.
Right.
But so she's in the ad industry. But in your case, they're both in the AV industry or have been both been in the AV industry. Right. That must make you really proud that you're leaving this legacy that's going to long outlive you and your company.
Well, it is, there's a great source of pride in it. I have three daughters, and one of them said, you know, I'm not quite as interested in doing this. And so here I have two daughters and one son-in-law who's very active in the business too. So Thanksgiving dinners get a little rough, but what brought them on is that very thing that I talked about. It's a technology that's moving, and it's good people that are in this business. There's fun people to be around. They're thoughtful, they're courteous, and it was a great place. When Darcy went to her first Infocom, which I think was probably, 95, and she looked around and saw that, well, there's not a lot of women, and boy, everybody's nice. Everybody is really nice, and there would be an opportunity for women to move into this business. Of course, she got her degree in advertising marketing, but nevertheless was always thinking of this, and she worked through the summer and all that. So I think it is still that key area that we have some of the more spectacular people in the business world in this industry.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we're also the pinnacle of technology, right?
Yes,
we are. The consumer stuff is at the base. We're at the top. We're the stuff that's making the stuff that normally wouldn't work together, and the stuff we do trickles down to the consumer years and years later, like you talked about Tanberg and what they did. So if you were talking to yourself 40 years ago and you were giving yourself advice, what advice would you give yourself?
Well, I said, you know, I've heard about Gary Kay's crystal ball. Develop that own crystal ball for yourself. Look into the future, see what's going to happen. Try to see what's going to make you happy. I was a decent employee, but I'm a much better owner of a business because I like the whole overwhelming part, and sometimes got frustrated with the management before. And if people have that sort of limitation, it is highly energizing. It's not an easy thing owning your own business, as you know, and managing a business, but you never wake up with an idea, well, I wonder if I can find anything to do today.
Yeah, you don't Don't have that problem. Definitely right. Don't have that problem, especially in troubled times, right? I mean, you're always you're thinking all the time.
Right.
So Ron, I have really appreciated our friendship. You know, we started out, I want to say adversarial, but just not totally trusting each other. And we went full circle to where I consider you a great friend, a great mentor in the industry. I've called you and asked your opinion. You've called and asked mine. You've written stuff for our publication. You've been an inspiration for the industry. And you are, as you know, I've written a number of times, you're the classic example of the perfect rep, manufacturer's rep, because you do everything a rep should do. You don't sit back and just wait for everyone else to do it. You are proactive and you're a class. So if you're interested in starting a rep firm, or you thought about a rep firm, even if you're not in the AV industry, Ron, you'd be a great person to talk to, because you did exactly what rep firms are supposed to do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's a mutual admiration society, because Gary, you're phenomenal in what you present, the way you work, do the seminars, being the keynote speaker in so many areas, because your opinion is important throughout this industry. Very proud of you. Very proud to have you as a friend.
Well, I appreciate it. And one of these days, hopefully we'll be able to say hello again in person. But in the meantime, this is the next best thing to being there. And of course, I'm going to link Ron's bio or his LinkedIn profile in the description of this video cast. And I want you to, you know, not only connect with him, reach out to Ron, because Ron knows this market as good as anybody. You've seen it, like you said, from overhead. I suspect some people are watching this, don't even know what an overhead projector is. So if you want to know, yeah, you can ask Ron. You know, those things that just have a little, you know, you probably seen them in high school.
War of the Worlds, if you watch the movie War of the Worlds, that's what an overhead projector looks like.
That's exactly right. And also, you've seen a lot of technological changes. And I mean, I didn't think about this, but I didn't realize when you were a kid, it was black and white. And then all of a sudden it becomes color. That must have been amazing.
We haven't
gone through a transition like that in consumer. Well, I guess streaming is kind of like a big deal. It's not like even HD from NTSC was not as big of a deal as black and white to color. I think if they'd have gone from NTSC to 4K, it would have been a big deal. But black and white to color, that was substantial. I mean,
moving from the CRT to the panel to the been the thing. So suddenly your displays got so much bigger and so much better
and lighter.
Yes.
Disposing of a 35 inch, I'm sure you had one too, Mitsubishi CRT that took four people to lift was not easy to do, because you go to the landfill and they're like, we don't want this. Where else am I supposed to take it? Where am I supposed to do it, this thing? Yep. So thank goodness those days are gone, and there's some laws that require people to recycle stuff you buy from them. So Ron, thank you very much. Congratulations on your success. Please tell your beautiful and amazing daughters I said hello. I've worked with both of them. They're both gifted, and it's because of their father. I'm sure you had some influence there, but they also learned well in college, and they're great relationship people. And I'm just in awe that you're able to pull that off, because I'd love to have one of my daughters come into this industry, but I don't think it's in the cards. So, you know, you have something to be proud of every year as you see them every holiday and remember that you got them in the industry. That's a heck of a thing.
Well, I truly am, and I have a grandson who's very interested in it right now. He's actually worked with me this summer doing a couple of videos, so we'll see what happens.
There you go. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, again, Ron DeVoe, Total Marketing, based in Fort Worth or Dallas-Fort Worth area. Thanks again. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Of course, if you want all of our video casts and podcasts at raypubs.com.